We are back, and now I have this cold, so if I apologize, so if I don't shake your hand or get up in your face, I just don't want you to get sick. So, yes, it's Indiana, yeah. Gotcha. So, sabbatical time this 4 weeks was good for me and Carla. Driving down the road, man, my voice is really shot. Driving down the road, we didn't, I looked at Carla and said, hey, what do you think about this sabbatical, whatever. She goes, I knew I was tired, but didn't think I was this tired, pretty much. And I agreed. And so for a whole month, I think I slept in every day as much as I could. So I didn't realize how tired I was. I didn't think you could, sabbatical, I thought you had to do all these things. And I found out that really we just needed some rest. And so we thank you for the church for allowing us to do that. It was really good for us. And so that was good. That was good for us. And so so I want to thank you as a church for allowing me and Carl to do that. And I want to thank the staff for being able to handle all the situations and all those things that happened while we were gone. I want to give a special thanks out to Phil. Oh, Marlo, where's he? There you are. So Phil did a great job leading. You don't know this, but he is the envy of the association. I got pastors want him as their associate pastor. And I say, no, you can't have him. And then I had to take a step back and say, you know, only the Lord, because I know Phil would not run for money. Phil wouldn't go for a bigger church. Phil would only go if the Lord called him to. And so I appreciate him as a brother. He did a great and outstanding job. He never called me. I did call a couple times, but he never called me, and he handled. The first week was a little rough, but they did their things they were supposed to, and felt the weight of that senior leadership role, and he did a great job. And so I commend you for that, brother, and love you in the Lord. So, yeah. And so... And thank you for all your prayers. I appreciate that as well. And, if you're a visitor here today, I want to welcome you to New Life. And Pastor Tony is here today. So, hey, Pastor Tony is here from Fort Wayne. So it's always good to recognize other pastors when they come to visit. And so we acknowledge you today as a brother in Christ and a preacher of the Word. So today, I want to share some things with you today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15. I want to share with you today, I hope that you're going to listen. And I know that when we get on our cell phones, I'm starting to use my cell phone Bible app a lot more. I use it because it's so easily accessible. And I know some of you do that too. And but I really want you to pay attention today. So if you're playing games on it, don't do that today. Please don't do that today. I want you to be in the Word today. I want you to take the spiritual food from it. I want you to grow in the Lord. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 15 today. So Father, Lord, we just pray again that you would just open our hearts and our minds and give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Word would have for us today. Lord, give me strength to do this message. And Father, we do just pray, Father, we would just be open to what your Spirit would have for us today. Thank you for your Word. In Christ's name, amen. Here we find there's a gathering. Jesus is speaking. There's a gathering. And then this crowd we see in 15, we see that there are tax collectors, there are sinners, and there are the Pharisees who are speaking and challenging Jesus and asking them questions. And they were complaining, and there were not just the Pharisees, but there were also the scribes. So the who's in town, the religious people were there, the men were there, and they were complaining. They were complaining about Jesus being around sinners. And they were claiming that this man hangs out, welcomes sinners, and he eats with sinners. And Jesus is going to give a parable. A parable is a mystery thing. It's how Jesus spoke so many times to the people. And these parables are very good learning pieces. They really are. And they are always They're always stand on theology and doctrine as well. But I want to pick it up here in verse 3. He said, he told them this parable. Now, this thing's going to be divided in like three pieces. Many of you know what I'm talking about. Sheep, coin, son. Okay? So he told this parable. He said, what man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it? Jesus opens up this with a question. This is how Jesus taught a lot. He was ask a question, and it would mess everybody up. And he's asking this question, you that have sheep, and you lose one, would you not go out and go get that lost sheep? And he says, and when he had found it, he joyfully put it on his shoulders, and coming home, and he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need repentance. And so here we find that Jesus began to open up and share and speaking to this crowd. And the crowd is growing, and they're wanting to hear about what Jesus is talking about. You got these Pharisees and you got these Sadducees that are they're in complaining mode. They don't like Jesus. They're complaining to him, but you got these tax collectors and you got these sinners who don't really need to be there, but they want to be there. You know, sometimes the reason these Pharisees and scribes were there is because they felt like they needed to, because they felt like Jesus was encroaching in their ministry. Don't think every person in your crowd is really going with you. Okay? This sheep was part of the fold. I want to remind you. I want to reverse it. 1 Timothy 2:4 says this: God wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants people to come to Christ. God wants people to have salvation. We need to know that today. Whether they're tax collectors, sinners, Pharisees, scribes. Whether it's a sinner in the pew, the saved sinner, that's drifting, or the lost person who needs Christ. Here it is. He goes and he says, this one, they went after. He goes after this one. And so we see that this sheep can represent the lost person, but I believe it represents more of the saved person. It is a saved person who has drifted from the flock. It is a sheep who has wandered. Now, what it is, it isn't the believer who just runs away. It's a believer who just, these sheep can just wander off. And I believe it's just, today, me and Phil have been having conversations. We're kind of, to be honest with you, we're kind of on a downcline, a decline. 5 months ago, we were on for the last year and a half, we were on an upcline, or an incline. We're running 115, 120. We hit the 130, 35 mark. Even in the book, I think we hit some 140s. What's going on? I think we got a lot of people like this sheep right here who have gotten distracted by the things of the world. They've gotten distracted and started to get become and started to go sideways and started to drift away. And when you drift away, the drift away from the Lord, you'll begin to drift away from the church. When you drift away from the church, you begin to drift away from the Word. When you drift away from the Word, you begin to drift away from your prayer time. And all in all, you just start drifting away from the Lord. And I have to go over the hills and round the valleys and through the woods, and there they are, because they drifted so far away. Folks, we got some people here that haven't been here in 5-6 months. They went over the hills, around the corners, through the woods, down in the valleys, and we got to go, and we got to make an attempt. We got to make an attempt. And the Bible says he carried it back to the home, back into the flock. Sometimes this is why that as me and Phil, sometimes we may not spend as much time with you because you are so faithful. We have to spend more time with those who have wandered off, or those who are lost. There's a little bit more in some things, but I want to be able to cover all of this, and you can't. Each one of these, believe me, each one of these is a preaching message in itself. But I'm just kind of breezing through them. Is that okay? Then we go to the parable of the lost coin. Now hang on to the sheep for just hanging on in your mind. The parable of the lost coin. Or what would a woman has 10 silver coins? If she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. What does Jesus do again? He asks another question. Now there's some in here that might get this one a little bit more in this crowd, in that crowd. This is the woman, had this band, it's this thing as marriage, it's like these 10 Jewish coins here, it's part of this whole marriage piece, and you lose one, it's kind of almost like, oh, it's a really bad thing. And so I gotta go out and I gotta find it. It says she loses one coin, and so basically what she does, she says, if she loses one coin, does she light the lamp and sweep the house and search carefully when she finds it? You see, now this isn't running and chasing and going out over the and looking out in the wilderness for some lost sheep. It represents kind of the same thing, but it's in the house. You see, you could be in the house today and your heart could be far from God. You're lost in the four walls of the church. How in the world can that happen? It can happen because when this gets lost, everything else gets lost. How is that? Your prayer life can be minimal. Nobody really knows about it. Your reading the Word can be minimal. Nobody knows about it. Your walk with the Lord can be way out in left field and nobody knows about it. But I want to remind you, God always knows. And you could be looking. And she looked until she found it. And there we could say the Holy Spirit's here, lighting the lamp. That's, you know, doing sweeping and searching. And we're praying for you all, that all everyone here that comes to the church and that is inside the church does really know the Lord, that does have a relationship with Christ. You can be here in attendance in body, and you can be here in attendance with your emotions and your conscience, but you may not be here with your spirit. Your spirit may not be right with the Lord. Lost people go to church. People that are not saved, lost people go to church a lot. They think they have salvation through their family, their parents, their church membership. So they could be lost in the four walls. And if we're lost in the four walls, I can tell you this. We're not evangelizing. We're not sharing the gospel. Maybe serving somewhere. Or do anything but the spiritual thing. Yeah. It's still got value. It still has value. A lost person still has value. Whether it's the lost person who knows Christ and he's lost, and she's lost her way in her walk, his walk with the Lord, or the lost person who doesn't know Christ. They're all of value to God. The Bible says, God so loved the world, amen? But the parable doesn't stop. He continues to go on because he does want to get to these Pharisees as well. He talks about this parable of this lost son. And I'm going to read so we can get it. He also said a man had two sons. And here he doesn't ask a question. He's speaking directly. A man has two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming. So that he distributed the assets to them. And their cultural little thing in there, you can read it in the Old Testament, they can ask, the inheritance after they pass away, which is usually the most of the time, or they can give it to them early. And here this younger son wanted his inheritance right now. And so not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and he traveled into a distant country. I'm going to tell you something right there. When you go away from those who are believers in Christ, you're heading for problems. You're heading for a problem. Here it is. He says, so not many days later, he's feeling it. I got some money. I got some treasure. I got an inheritance. I'm ready to go. And the younger son gathered together all that he had and he traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. How many of you know some people doing that right now? After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck the country and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods of the pigs that were eating, but no one would give him anything. Here we find that this young son, got his inheritance, just what he wanted, and the first thing he does, just in a couple of days, he leaves the home. He leaves the homestead. He leaves the direction and the pretty much under the wing of his father. He leaves everything that he had and he goes because he's got a better plan. This is what the world does. It pulls you away from the things of God. Maybe some of you here have a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. You want to find a broken heart. All you got to do is go find a parent who has children who are on drugs. It breaks their heart. But I want to tell you even one that's even more harder is when you meet a parent who has a son or a daughter who is a believer and has strayed so far away they went down the prodigal highway and they're living in the world and they're living of the world. You ever have a shoe, you ever try a pair of shoes that don't fit? A pair of pants that don't fit? A believer in the world don't fit. And here he is. He spent all that he has. And now he's broke. He's broke. Financially, he is broke. He's getting to the point now that he's going to break spiritually. Here's what we see. When he came to his senses, finally he comes to his senses. He's hungry. He's living with the pigs. And really, these Jewish people, the pigs were unclean animals. So sin will take you to places that are very unclean. And so he's living amongst the pigs. He knows this would be an embarrassment if his father saw this. But even he came to his senses. And he said, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food? And here I am, dying of hunger. Here's the thing. He knows what he has done. If you have a prodigal child or a prodigal family member, or we even have prodigals here at the church, they know what they have done. They know what they're doing. And he says, I think here I am. I said, I'll get up and I'll go to my father's and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned. Now see, that's something that the lost won't do, but that's something that the saved will say. Even a prodigal knows, I know that I'm living in sin. You get them, you talk to them, they'll say, I know that I'm living in sin. A prodigal doesn't say that I have sin. A prodigal will usually say, I'm living in sin. I'm living away from the Lord and outside the will of God. You know who told him that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is wrecking him inside, wrecking her inside. And he says, I'm going to get up and go to my Father. You see, inside the Holy Spirit is telling these prodigals, it's time to come home.
It's time to come home. But here it is. The Father's not chasing them like the sheep. When he goes out, this one, the Father's got to stay here because they're not listening. They want to go out and do the pleasures of the world. And they got to get to a point where they get to the low point. They got to get to the point where they're spiritually and physically and financially sometimes just broken and bankrupt. And I'm going to tell you, no one knows how to work with bankrupt spirits, bankrupt people than God. God is real good when people are bankrupt. He does an excellent work with people who are spiritually bankrupt. And he says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. His heart is broken. Prodigal's heart is broken. He says, now make me like one of your hired hands, your hired workers. He's got a plan. Who put that plan together? He's wrestling in his mind. The Holy Spirit's wrestling. And the Holy Spirit gives him a plan. It's time to come home. You need to repent. Now here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. The sheep had to go get, had to be found. Distracted all the time. Distracted all the time. Distracted, just wandering away. Oh, looking over there, looking over here, looking over here. I got to work every Sunday. Okay, we got church on Wednesday. We may, whatever. Now I'm going to do this on Wednesday. I'm going to read. I'm going to watch TV and I'm going to read. I'm not going to read my Bible. It just gets distracted. This lost, here's the thing. He is far away from the Lord, but he knows the way home. He knows where his Father is. He knows where the Father is. So it says in verse 20, so he got up, he gets up, and he went to his father. He's on the route. Nobody has to come get him. Nobody has to find him. Holy Spirit's done a work, and he is on his way. He is traveling. Can you imagine what he's getting? He's got, he's just processing all this stuff. I'm going to tell you, until you repent, you will process it continuously. And you will feel uneasy about it. You will feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit about it. And you will wrestle with it. And you will wrestle with it until you deal with it. Because the Holy Spirit is pulling you toward the Lord to deal with it. And he says, so he got up and he went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. I want to tell you, God has compassion for us. God has a compassion for the lost sinner and for the saved sinner. God has compassion, and he is always watching. His plan is for always. Why? Because his plan is always for us to come back to him. And so he had compassion. Then he ran, he threw his arms around his neck, and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I want to tell you, prodigals know exactly what they've done. They know exactly what their sins are. They know exactly what that sinful lifestyle is. They know every part of it. How do they know? Because they lived it day in and day out. And he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. He confesses it. And he says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servant, quick, bring out the best robe. You don't think that father knew what happened? God always knows what happened. He knows where you are. He knows what we're doing. Right now, he knows. In the empty seats today, he knows the ones that may be sick, but we'll see them soon. But he also knows those who are out there on the prodigal highway. And some of them, they see the turnpike to get off, to go back home, and they go right past it. But God has mercy and compassion. He puts another turnpike up. He puts another exit sign up. He puts another off-ramp up, another off-ramp all the way down this road. And we keep ignoring it. And they may be living that sinful lifestyle and the prodigal lifestyle for a year. And another year goes by, and another year goes by. But I don't see that the Father stops looking and waiting. Some of you know what it's like to have prodigal children or a prodigal child. The world may give up on them. The church may give up on them. And you may even give up. But I want to tell you, the Father does not. He loves the prodigal child. He loves your prodigal child more than you do. He says, bring the fattened calf. Because this is the son of mine was dead, is alive again. He was lost and he is found. So they began to celebrate. And that's an important piece right there. They began to celebrate. All three. Sheep, celebration. Lost coin, they find it, celebration. The son comes back home, celebration. Celebration. Now, his older brother, who represents the Pharisees and the scribes, was in the field. And he came near the house and he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants, questioning what those things meant. And your brother is here, he told him. And your father has slaughtered and fattened the calf because he was back safe and sound. And then this son becomes angry. He didn't want to go in. I'm not going in. And so his father came out and he pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, look, I have been slaving many years for you and I have never been disobedient, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. Let me also remind you, those who are living in the prodigal lifestyle, the word comes back and families know exactly what's going on. The prodigals can't really hide the secret. I mean, there might be some, but overall, who knows? Word gets around. Talk to this family, that family. And he knew. Everybody knew what this younger son did. Older brother said, he went out to got him some prostitutes. He went out and blew all his own inheritance. My dad didn't do anything for me. And you don't think the father knows about that? Yeah, he does, because now he's going to speak. Son, he said to him, you're always with me. It's kind of like the lost coin. In the house, lost. He said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. The scribes and this represents the scribes and the Pharisees with their self-righteousness. We're better than that's why. If you go back to the beginning, the first verse is all the tax collectors and the sinners were approaching to listen to him, and the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, this man welcomes sinners and eats with sinners. The older brother represents these Pharisees and these scribes. How soft we are much better than everybody else. We are so much better than everyone else. We are the priests. We are the scribes. And these people are sinners. And the older brother says, he is a sinner. And he calls it out. With no compassion. And no mercy, and definitely no grace. But our God is filled with compassion. He is filled with mercy. And he is filled with grace. It is all birthed out of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He that has the Son has life, but he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. God is offering Jesus to the lost. Now, as I said earlier, in the church, we're at some numbers and we're looking pretty good. We also had a prayer time and fasting in January. We do it every January. We pray and fast, and God has answered some awesome prayer requests over the years. When we asked God not to give us a visitor for 6 months because we need to work on ourselves, God did not give us a visitor for 6 months. The time we asked God to give us four couples, and one of them was disciple. That was a one that had discipleship specialty, giftedness. And the very next month after we got done with fasting, prayer and fasting, we seen that we lost a one of our third pastor here. We lost a pastor that was here, and he went off. And not we lost, we just gave him away because he went up to pastor another church. So we needed four, and now we're down one. Then we need five. We still want that. That year, God gave us the four that we were asking for, and on the fifth one that came in December was the one that was Pastor Phil Jones, who was a retired pastor, and his expertise was discipleship. Only God can do that. The year we asked God to give us 20 baptisms, 2 years ago, God gave us 20 baptisms by October, and he said, let me just show you what else I can do, and he gave us three more. This year we have prayed and fasted. There's many other ones that we have prayed and fasted for. But this year we have prayed and fasted for some pretty big things. But the one that I think that we get attacked on, one, is that we have asked God to give us 30 baptisms. This is the first year we did a two-year, a fast for 2 years. And we will do this again. But the two ones that, the one is that we want to offer. We want to give an offering to God. We want to offer 1% of the community, the city population, which would be 170. We want to do that. We want to offer God 1% of the city. And that would be 170 people. And we don't do it for our sake. We do it because God has called us to go out to highways and byways and share the gospel. We want to make a difference. An eternal difference. Working with God, the kingdom of God. And because we did that, I believe that there has been some attack, spiritual attacks on this. And now we seem like we're going in reverse. And that's why I share this message. I do think that today we do have some. Now listen, I know we have lost people that do not know Christ, that need Jesus Christ. That's why we do altar calls here. That's why we do them even on Wednesday nights. And we share the gospel outside, out there in the foyer area and other places. We're going to continue to share the gospel because there are lost people in this building. But I want to share that there are lost sheep in the fold of New Life Fellowship that have gotten distracted, who have strayed from the Lord, who have wandered off in a different direction, who are struggling. They're not meaning to, they just got distracted. There's also those that are inside the church. They're struggling, spiritually struggling. Got to get your fire back with the Lord. Got to stir the flame. Read 2 Timothy chapter 1. And then there are those here. We have a lot of prodigals. We need to pray for them. And then we have this older son who is the self-righteous individual. I have the Lord. I'm better than it. I'm better. I'm good. I'm better than those who are living in sin. Today, one of those may have relate with you and the fact that you might be in one of these categories or you know of someone in one of these categories. And whether it's you or whether it's someone you know that's in the category, your heart should be broken. Which tells me also that I feel like that our heart is not broken for the lost like it once was. Which in my mind, I feel like sometimes that I don't think we're quite there, but I think that we can get there if we don't get our act together, that we may be like the Church of Ephesus. That God knows our works and our works are great. But I fear that we may be getting close to where we've fallen out of love with Jesus. And that in itself would end up in a broken relationship. So I want to challenge you today where you are in your own spirit with God. Are you like a lost sheep? You may come back to church every once in a while. Are you like a lost coin? The prodigal? The older son? Or maybe your heart just isn't where it needs to be. We need to have a heart for this community. We may be doing things in the community, but we need to have a heart for the lost. I don't think I have to ask you, but I do think that we have lost our heart for the lost. We like it when we see someone come down and accept Christ. Kind of like that. That's kind of great. That's good. Well, we're becoming observers instead of participators. Every one of you know people that are lost in your life, whether it's at work or at school or your own family. Have you ever invited them to church? Have you ever asked them what their thoughts were on God? Have you ever asked them about anything of life after death? Anything that can open up the door for a conversation to share the gospel? I think that's a place that we need to be. In a place where we get our love back for the lost. Our family, our friends, our co-workers, and our community. Because no one knows the day or the hour when the Lord comes, but also no one knows the day or the hour when your last breath is either. God works with second and third and fourth chances here, even 70 times seven chances here. But once a person breathes their last, there are no more chances. It's over. We are called to share the gospel in this community. I'm trying to process why numbers are going. Numbers aren't everything, but they do represent. Look around right now, and you know most of you sit kind of in the same seats. I know a lot of people move around. Who do you see that's missing? Who do you see that's missing? I'm going to ask you, are you praying for them? Are you talking to them? Is your heart broken for them? You can't get a broken heart because you want one. You got to ask for one. You got to ask the Lord to put that back in your heart. Lord, stir up my heart for broken and lost people. Whether they're believers that are lost in their walk or they're non-believers that need to come to the Lord for salvation. Stir my heart to share the gospel. So maybe today we need to spend a little time asking God to forgive us as a church. And to repent ourselves as a church. That's what I'm going to do. And we repent ourselves, repent to the Lord that our heart hasn't been really truthfully right. We've been sitting in our seats long enough, taking in and eating from God's Word. It's time to get out and share the gospel. Stand in the gap. Stand on the mountain and look down at Sodom and say, Lord, if there be 10, and plead to God for the lost. Plead to God for your family. Because I promise, if you're not praying for your family, most likely no one else is. So today I'm going to challenge you to think, and maybe the Spirit is stirring your own heart to start, that we need to repent as individuals and as a church for where our heart is and our spirit lies concerning the lost. And maybe there are some here today that need to speak specifically to the Lord about their own life. On how maybe they've slipped, or you've slipped and been sliding away from God. You want to see God work again? I've heard that so many times. I used to see God work in my life. I want to tell you, God still wants to work in your life. I can stand up here for a long time and share answered prayers from God here. I can stand up here and share financial miracles that God has done here for a long time. I can do those things. And God blessed so much in the past, but I want to tell you, God's working in the present. It's not where we were, it's where we are. And where we're going. And God has worked with his people so many times over the generations and thousands of years. And he did great things, but when they weren't doing what they were supposed to do, and their hearts slipped and faded, God shut down the miracles. God shut down the blessings to get their attention. Folks, I believe God still wants to do a great, great works here. But we have to remember, God is God and we are servants. We are called to serve. We have people that are slipping and sliding. Don't be angry with them. Don't be self-righteous with them. Let your heart break for them. Pray for them. Plead for them. Because we stand, we have Jesus who sits at the right hand of God interceding for those whom he loves. The Bible also says that God disciplines those whom he loves. So today I'm going to ask us to stand. We're going to have an opportunity.